Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. This episode, I have a special guest on the show so we can talk about cases and case modding and a show called QuakeCon. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Dwayne Carroll from Modders, Inc. Longtime listeners will know that I don't do many interviews on the Hardware Asylum Podcast, and when I do, they're generally rather unique. In this episode, I have Dwayne Carroll on the show. I've known Dwayne for quite a long time. Strangely enough, we have also a very similar background.
Yeah, I'm Dwayne Carroll. I've been in the hardware arena, I'll call it, for always seems like the last 20 years or more. Mm-hmm. Been running a site called Modders, Inc. about case mods and product reviews. Been doing that for, I think, started in 2006.
And I think... what was it? Ninja Lane was 1999 for me. But then Hardware Asylum, which is the site that I publish on now, I started that in, I think, 2012 or something like that. Anyway, it's been a while, which is great.
Yeah, you know, we've both been around for quite a long time, seen a lot of different changes.
We have similar backgrounds. We both run our own website, as we talked about. The first article I wrote on Ninja Lane was actually for a case mod, and it's something that I still enjoy doing. Even though we don't really need to. I mean, I've taken cases apart and then painted certain parts of them with automotive paint and then set up a paint booth in my garage. And unfortunately, where I normally set up the paint booth, I have a dead vehicle. So it makes it really difficult to do that kind of stuff. For the show, I wanted to bring Dwayne on and have a casual conversation about different computer hardware things, you know, modding, running websites, stuff like that. Most people might consider retro PCs as just these old computers that are sitting in the corner, but those mods that we were talking about earlier are really what shaped computers and laid the groundwork for these pre-built mods that we see today with lots of lights and different colors and tempered glass. Another example, for instance, is that overclocking. In the early days, overclocking was a way that you could get a little extra performance out of a machine that might have been budget or that you can't upgrade yourself. And that would require modifying the hardware itself. And a lot of these hardware manufacturers clued in on this and started building those modifications into the boards. And then that steamrolled into overclocking competitions and introduction of exotic cooling methods like liquid nitrogen and single stage phase coolers. But that also brought us back into the modding scene where we wanted to overclock 24/7 or all the time and needed to have a lot more cooling. So, for instance, my first mod was to add fans to a case, because back then, cases didn't cool very well. So, Dwayne, I wanted to ask you, what prompted you to do your first case mod?
Pretty much about the same thing. It was like having to add more cooling. So, if that meant, well, I gotta cut this thing up, I might as well do something else to it. So, it's like, yeah, I might as well do that. But I also... for a little bit of back history on myself, yeah. I was into cars and I raced motorcycles for several years and very artistic. I loved to draw, loved to paint, that kind of a thing. And it just got me into a thought process of like, okay, so I'm cutting this thing up. I'm going to have to paint this. Why don't I try to do something else?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't have any exposed metal and stuff like that.
Right. I didn't want it to look like crap, even though, you know, nobody else is going to see it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, just personally, I know it's sitting over there and it's got exposed metal or something. No, didn't want to do that. So I just decided, yeah, I'm going to start doing some things to it to make it look good. And it just became an artistic outlet for myself. It's like, because one of the things when I was younger is, and they kind of do a little bit of it still nowadays, is practical effects in movies. So that's where they would make the miniatures or they make the movie sets and all the models and stuff. I really like to do that. So I was able to kind of combine all my passions into one particular thing. So it worked out that way. And I loved it and been loving it ever since.
Yeah. That brings up an interesting backstory for myself as well. I've talked about this on previous shows, but I have a degree in architecture, you know, building architecture. And when I was in school, aside from drawings and renderings, there was the model. So whenever you would design a building or a structure, you needed to build a miniature of that, and it needed to be to scale. The better it rendered as being a real building, the the more kudos you got from the instructor. In some kinds, it would be the difference between getting a C or getting an A. So I got to learn really quick about, you know, building models like that. And, you know, that's when I bought my first airbrush. And I got to learn how to use markers and colored pencils to do those renderings that actually make it look real. And that really did translate, much like you, into some of the case mods that I did. But, you know, most of mine, I designed them to be practical. And by practical, it'd be like, well, I really like this case, but it doesn't cool very well. So I'm going to add bigger fans and then figure out how to hook those up so that they would blow through, and then realize I was starving the intake on this side because of the plastic in the front. So how do I mold something in there? And then I got to break out fiberglass, you know, and it was actually a process that, you know, I had done as I was repairing other things like cars, motorcycles. It's like, well, now I have these skills. I can do this on computer cases as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, I think, but you had those skills to be able to do that. And some people don't. And, you know, kind of the process that we were trying to do as well through the website was kind of show people. And we would do a lot of competitions. So a little internal competitions through the website and things. Be like, okay, we're going to limit how much money we can spend. Like, if you only get $100 and you get to try to make the coolest looking case that you can, because it's sometimes it's not about how much money you can throw at it and how much you want to change things and what do you want to do. And it becomes more of a hands-on project and showing people that you didn't have to spend, you know, $2,000 to make a cool looking case. It's like, no, this is $150.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. YouTube stars are now doing that with, you know, cars or something like that. We have our cheap car challenge or whatever. It's like we have to make it halfway across the country on $200 or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just the whole process, because it was people were always complaining that, you know, I can't spend that much money. You don't have to. I mean, you can go out and you buy a couple of Rado cans at the hardware store somewhere, and you can change the color of your case in over a weekend. Literally, you can do stuff like that and make things. Or if it was like you said, you know, I want a more cooling case, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you just spend time on it.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Well, I mean, when I say spend time on it, it'd be like, well, you've set it up and then you have to test. It's like, well, did I actually improve anything? At least from the cooling standpoint. And then that's where you can trace airflow and realize that your IDE cables are getting in the way or something stupid like that, right?
As you know, as we're talking on the subject wise, so like you said, of the IDE cables and items such as that, the computers that you see nowadays, us modders actually created that genre of cases and products. What you see today was created by us 20, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And the manufacturers would come into the forums. We would have, I mean, godly amounts of people coming into the forums and stuff and posting. This whole thing for the back used to be called a work log, and you showed exactly how you did it so other people could learn the processes. And the manufacturers would literally come into our forums and look at it and go, these people are putting windows in the side of a case. Why can't we do that? We could sell them because we could cut out the middleman and make it so it's easier. Wow, these people are doing this or that. And we actually formed what you see today.
Well, and, you know, while I did case modding, you know, my focus was primarily on overclocking, which is why I brought in the, you know, the overclocking analogy where, we'd have to modify chips or desolder stuff, you know, add jumpers. And then the manufacturers just started adding that because that's something that was in demand. And, you know, cases are the same way. And for you, you know, your foray into case modding, you know, that was what your site was all about. When do you think it became a business over being just a hobby for you?
It never really became a business, I will say. If it did, it was accidentally. It was before, so long story, very short. First started on a case modding site that was called, and I hate even saying the name because the guy just drives me crazy, Case Mod God.
You know, I don't remember that one.
Really?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That one eluded me. The one I was thinking of was it started with a V. It was like, yeah, I can't remember now. Any of that doesn't really matter.
So that's the one we first started on, and where it really became crazily popular. And the guy that was in charge of it, or was originally his site, something just went wrong with him. I don't know what it was, and he just he got totally mad that the whole site was not dedicated just to about him. And then we decided we're going to start Modders, Inc. So all of us, there was 4, 5, 6 of us that were all working on that website at one point. And we all just said in the same week, said goodbye.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, Darren and I talked on previous episodes. BBSs were before the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the BBSs were kind of like this big club of people. And so you would have popularity around it, and you'd have people helping you with it. And then as that genre, I guess, moved to the internet, people tried to do the exact same thing. But you had a lot more freedom on the web in terms of what it is you could do and what you could portray. And some people wanted one thing, and other people that were helping didn't want that. And that's what's created new sites. So it's very common for basically what you described is kind of how many of these review sites and stuff started.
Yeah, it's, and then we you know, like I said, he really wanted it to be all about himself, and we're like, we don't want that. We want to actually, you know, be part of the community. We want to explain and show and have everybody be just a community. And so we started, literally, I think we started Modders, Inc. 2 weeks after leaving that.
Yeah.
And it was just, again, it was just a hobby for all of us because we all enjoyed it so much. And then, unfortunately, it never became a real business. I mean, it was our side hobby parts of it, and we loved doing it. And we had quite a bit of fun. And then eventually, little by little, people would come and say, hey, we like what you do. Would you like to do some product reviews? Hey, we like this. Could you, like, make us a case and do some things along the way? And it got to that point where it was kind of teetering a little bit. Could we make a profit out of this, make it a real business, make it fun? And it just stayed more of a fun kind of a thing. So as a business-wise, it kind of never became a full-time business, but it did become a part-time business.
With the previous question, we were talking about how manufacturers would come into your forums and start looking at build logs and say, hey, we could do that. And really was kind of the birth of what I would call the pre-modded case. And we have several iterations of pre-mods. You know, we have the original ones, which were done at around the same time that case modders were doing everything themselves. And then we have probably the modern case mod, which is the stuff that you'd see from like Cooler Master and Thermaltake and just about any case you can find on Newegg. So what are your thoughts on pre-modded cases?
That's kind of a touchy subject a little bit for me. Because I'm the kind of person who was a purist, I guess you could say, is one of those that, like, it's not a modded case unless you actually did it yourself.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Totally agree.
At the same time, though, kind of nice to see, like, wow, the manufacturers are understanding where their people are coming from that really want their products. Mm-hmm. But what really kind of made me upset, and this was many, 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 many years ago,
yeah,
there was a guy in the forums. His name was his name in the forums was Alonzo Istro. And he made this amazing case. He cut it up and had designs into it and painted it, and it looked amazing. It was like, holy smokes. I mean, at that time, he was like, I would have considered him like one of those guys that was levels above everybody else of what he was capable of doing. About 6 months later, there was a case that appeared on the internet and people were selling it, and it was a manufacturer. I got a hold of him. I said, so did you get with this company and, you know, authorize him to make your case? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I gave it to him. It was almost an exact replica of what he had hand built. I've never contacted him. And that's where it kind of rubbed me wrong still a little bit because of those manufacturers just taking advantage of people, that kind of a deal.
Well, and that's kind of the China mentality these days anyway.
Well, yeah, but not even that. But it's to the point where anybody who came up with an idea, I mean, you could literally see it in a manufacturer's website within a couple of months. I mean, case modders were the guys, as you stated, we used to put our own windows in, right? You cut the holes for more air supply and more fans that you wanted to go in. We made the first modular power supplies. We wanted to put the first time to put LED strips in or put in lighting inside of the case. We're the first ones to put lighting around like fans. We did all those things. And all these people that did and created those never got any kind of credit for that. Manufacturers coming in and taking it, saying, "Oh, we can take that and sell it to people." So we kind of evolved the process at that point in time, which was kind of cool. But then at the same time, it was like, wow, so the innovation was coming from outside of their companies. It was coming from our forums. And it's kind of the same thing I see now with the newer cases. So over the years, and as generations go by, things change. Our generation, or probably maybe my generation before your generation, but you as well, like you said earlier, you have a vehicle that's inside of your garage that's sitting there that you like to do work on cars and that you like to do this, you like to do that. Our generations, we actually did stuff like that.
Oh
We
yeah.
worked on cars. I remember having to fix my car so I could go to work the next day.
Oh yeah, I've done that. You know, it's like
Yeah.
hit a speed bump and knock off a coolant line or to your transmission,
Yeah.
and all of a sudden you have a big pool. And it's like, well, okay, now what do I do?
And we
It's
had
not
to
like you can
fix
get
it.
on your phone and call somebody.
Right. We had to fix it. And like I said, because of your interest before of the cars and vehicles, you were able to use fiberglass and you were able to use all these things. I see it, and it's been a talk before about it, was the newer generations, unfortunately, don't get to have that experience very often nowadays. Everything's disposable. So if I want something, I can go buy it. Or if something breaks, I'll go buy another one. I don't have to create anything. And this is what the new generation of cases and case modding is more of a, to me, I mean, I'm probably pissing a lot of people off, but it's more of a bolt-on kind of a situation where I can go buy something and put it on and call it a case mod, but you didn't typically change anything about it. It's just something that you bolted on. I mean, you know, same thing with the cars. You get the guys who go out and buy all the chrome parts and put chrome parts all over the car and say, "Look what I did." Like, you didn't do anything except bolt something on.
Yeah, you still got the pizza cutters out back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, that was and even in well, in car culture, that's always been a sticking point. A lot of people really don't like that. And in some cases, it looks okay. And well, I should say, in some situations, it looks okay. In other situations, it's like, well, yeah, it's there's nothing special about it. You just made it unique to you. You know, and with
Yeah.
modern computer cases now, you know, they've evolved. And they've all
Oh, they
evolved a
have.
lot. I mean, you know, have an area behind the motherboard tray to route your cables and have access to the heat sink so you don't have to remove the motherboard to, and I still remove it if I want to put a heat sink on. I don't use that hole in the back of the case.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's like I would rather have something solid behind the board if I'm going to put something, you know, springy on there. But
I
then
do too.
again,
Yeah.
I've broken so many motherboards over the years that as I am, I know how to break them and I know how not to. So I get around that. But a lot of the cases that you can buy now is like, you know, tempered glass. There was a reason that early computers didn't have glass in their computers. One, it was expensive, but you had EMI to deal with. You know, now that computers don't have that same problem or same restriction, then you can get away with that kind of stuff. The thing that annoys me is that cases don't really cool like they used to, because they're designed mostly for, you know, you have 10 fans that you can put in a case, right? But the area around the fan is completely open, so it really basically short circuits any airflow that's in the case. It's really more for putting RGB lights in there to add more lighting to your case. It
Yeah.
become it becomes a the mod, so to speak, is the assembly of the components, which is really more of a build, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. To me, there's very few case mods. anymore. I mean, to me, a case mod nowadays is something where somebody's gone beyond and anything else or the next level of some things. Case mods are no longer the modification of a case. That's where case modding came from. It's just it's a bolt-on assembly. It is something that I can purchase, which is all great and good. And then there's some people can do some great things with the stuff they just bought off the shelves and do some stuff. And they put their own personal touches here or there.
Yeah, but it's not we're not going to break out the rattle can and change the color and stuff like that.
Right. We're not going to change the color. We're not going to do this. We're going to do X, Y, or Z. Again, probably going to piss some people off because I tend to do that. But it's like I am going to appease the manufacturers as much as I can with their products and make something look cool so that I can get sponsorship and so that I can go to events and things like that. Before, it was kind of like that, but it was also, wow, our case mods were used as attractions for people to come to the booth.
Well, and that is a perfect segue into my next question, actually. Over the years, I've tried to be very selective in the trade shows that I attend, and usually it restricts me to going to CES and Computex, which are really more hardware-focused. But I seem to remember that you were a fixture at QuakeCon a lot, and most of it was centered around like these amazing case mods that you were bringing along. What can you tell me about the experience, really?
The first reason we went to QuakeCon was when we were at the Case Mod God website, and we went there because nobody had really had case mods at the show, and we wanted to go show it off. We had some stuff that most of us kind of made. Went there and had a great time. It was the ability back then when you could gather in a room with a few thousand other people and have a great time.
QuakeCon was first and foremost just a huge LAN party, I believe.
Yes.
And
And
then it spawned off where vendors would set up booths, kind of like PDX LAN. I think at one point there was like workshops, like hardware workshops and stuff like that. And it really became like this big event, which I was jealous of everybody that wanted to go. So one reason I bring it up, because it seemed like you were there a lot.
We were there so we ran the case mod contest for 10 years, right up until COVID came along. And then we actually did, I believe it was either 1 or 2 years of the Quake at Home. We even did the case mod contest over the internet, which of course is a lot harder to do when it's over the internet. You don't get to actually see and physically touch it and talk to the people who make it. But the first 10 years of it at QuakeCon was great. Backstory on that is I've been going to QuakeCon for many years before that. And I was like, this is really disappointing on the case mod contest. Because if you remember Ryan from PC Perspective, they were a big part of the show there.
Yeah, Ryan Schrapp.
They would do this, got air quotes right now, this case mod contest. And it was just something they would walk along and go, oh, that's cool. Here, you get a prize. Us as case modders going there, we're just totally just mad about this. This is like, this is not a competition. This is like, I think this looks great, or you're my friend and I'm going to give you some hardware for this.
It's a high school popularity contest.
It's basically what it was.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we don't want to do this. We really want to get a hold of it. So with Modders Inc. is like, okay, let me see who I can find out. I jumped into the forums. I flamed the crap out of them about the case mod contest, and I finally get a private message from Michael, and he's like, what are you doing, man? And I'm like, what are you doing? So this is who we are, this is what we want to do, and we want to be able to run the case mod contest like a real case mod contest. He says, let me talk to the guys at id Software, because Michael was the one who was actually running QuakeCon. He was the one who was overseeing it.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it was really kind of cool. He comes back and he's like, okay, here's the deal. We want you guys to run the case mod contest. We want to see what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And if we like it, we'll continue with some stuff. I'm like, that's awesome. That's great. You won't be disappointed. So what we ended up being was, before, as you stated, it was like just manufacturers. We were the very first outside non-manufacturer group to be invited into QuakeCon. And we came in there and we started doing the first case mod show, and they gave us a booth to sit at, and we had products that were given away, and we had case mud sitting up. And then I'm at the booth. Everybody else is out running around. I'm off the booth all by myself, just running my head off, trying to talk to a bunch of people. These two guys come walking up and go, we like your stuff. We want you to be part of the show. And I'm like, well, we kind of already are. And he's like, yeah, no, we want you to be part of the show. We want you to go up on stage and stuff. And I'm like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
You know, I have no idea. Like, what are you talking about? I said, well, we're supposed to go up on the stage for the Ryan and PC Perspective and do some stuff. Well, if that's what you want to do, then that's cool. But we want you to be part of the show. And again, I'm not sure who these guys are. And then finally they said, oh, yeah, I'm Todd Holdstein. And nice. This is Tim Willits. So these are two of the three guys that run id Software.
Uh-huh.
And they're standing at the booth saying, this is what we want you to do. We want you to be part of the show. You're going to be at the final show. You're going to have 15 to 20 minutes up on the stage. You're going to present the case mod contest. You're going to be doing all of the stuff. And it was like, holy shit, because they were just so impressed on what we were doing. And that's literally what they said. We said, you guys are part of the whole community of the core of this, is that people just love what you do and what you're showing, and then case modding is part of this core of this community. I'm like, yeah, we know that. And that's how it started. And we did it for 10 years straight. Wow. We got so popular there that they were actually put cameras inside of the vendor areas.
Damn.
And they would come back every year and they would say, just to let you guys know, your booths compared to Corsair, Asus, Razer, anybody else that was in there, says your booth was the most busiest booth out of all the booths.
I remember seeing some of the coverage of those case mods, and you know, they were actual models that were built around cases. You know, it was that kind of detail, as I remember.
It ended up as the first couple of years we just had case mod contests. We had what we called just a case mod. It became so big. I think the last year we did it, we had close to 60 people in the competition. And we split it up into three different groups. So you had your, what we called a classic case mod. So it had to be formed or based on an actual case. So you had to use an actual case to create it. Then what we called a scratch build, which was anything that was made not from a case. It'd be anything to, you could use a certain percentage of a case. So if you had to use a motherboard tray or you had to use that, I think it was like 10% or 15% you could use from an actual case. Everything else had to be handmade. Then there was the id Bethesda case mods. So anything that was based off of any of the games made by id or Bethesda, it could would be falling into that group. So that's where you saw a lot of those that were particularly made just for those events. A lot of these people would spend like a whole year just creating this to be at this contest, because we were giving away, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of products to everybody, cash prizes. We were just over the top with this kind of a thing.
Wow.
And it became a big part of my life, you know, preparing for 6 months of trying to do some things for QuakeCon, being there and just having some fun and displaying all the products and all the cases that we did is too.
Well, and you see, one of my early questions was like, when did case modding become a business? And that sort of interaction is, you know, it may not have made you a lot of money, but that is actually very business-like. That's something that really impressed me. It was also why I was really jealous of everyone that got to go to QuakeCon. I'm like,
people should go if they get the opportunity. You've got PDX Land, which is great for the east or for the west coast, sorry. And then you get some of the PAXes. They do have small little lands there. I think you've got Net Wars, and I think there's one in your area too, right?
Yeah. So there is Boise LAN. That's hosted by a good friend of mine, and I sponsor that. I think I sponsored it every year since LAN 2. So, you know, talking about how long that's been going on.
Yeah.
And honestly, the sponsorship is all from me. So it's all X-Review product. So there's a lot of cases, a lot of coolers. 1 year I gave away a complete computer. And
which is kind of good for you, because I don't know about you, but I got like a room full of stuff. I mean, it's just packed.
Yeah, it was a great way to clean out the garage, to be honest. So that kind of rolls me into the final question. And, you know, as website owners, we all have goals about our respective sites. You know, for instance, Hardware Asylum's been a review site for quite a long time, and I have some articles on there. Some of them are retro-focused, some of them are build-focused, and some are just editorials about things that piss me off. And I've been planning to bring Ninja Lane back as a retro PC-focused website. I'm going to try to put a BBS on there and kind of make it as a written portion to some YouTube work that I wanted to do. So what are your plans for Modders Inc. and PC Test Bench now that you're kind of back in the foyer?
Yeah, well, I kind of stepped out because of COVID and then, like I said, refocused my life a little bit. I had spent so much time for my regular job in Modders Inc. I mean, it would be, you know, 12 hours at my regular job, come home, work another 4 to 6 hours every night. And it became a little taxing after while, because that's all you're doing. And when COVID came around, it was kind of, I hate to say it, but an opportunity to step back a little bit and like, okay, you know what? There's some things I need to take care of myself. And I actually did. I'm probably one of those only people that was probably felt lucky enough that this happened, because I needed that in my time in my life, refocus my life, and it really helped. And so I was away from it a little while, but I'm jumping back into it because I now have the time. So the focus for what Modders Inc. is kind of bring it back to, again, what it was or always has been. Believe that there's an opportunity at this stage in time, because people have the PCs as their cars now. I see. So like when we were doing, right? So we had a car. We always wanted to fix up our cars, make our cars look cool. Yeah. Some people can't afford a $50,000 car. But they do have their PC, and they want the PC to look cool, and they want to show it off to people, and they want to put pictures on the internet. I think people might want to have that opportunity to go back and be able to do some things, or show them how to do some stuff, or why do we do some certain things. I want to refocus a little bit back on the basics, and maybe show people how to do some stuff. And then just going back and doing the product reviews, I would really, my whole goal originally with Modders Inc. was to be more case-oriented. I wanted to be the case modding site, so why not be the site about cases and really go into in-depth reviews. I want to focus a little bit more back on that, but continue with the other products as well. Mm-hmm. You know, your mice, keyboards, cooling. It all goes in together. That's what I want to do with that.
Cool. Well, and the one thing that I found successful in running my sites is becoming a specialist in one area. You know, for the longest time, I was the only written site that focused on overclocking and overclocking hardware. So I was getting like these unicorn motherboards that nobody else could get and doing reviews of them, which was awesome, you know, because it made me feel special.
Yeah, and everything. That's great.
And then, you know, you talked about how COVID and it kind of reset things. Well, COVID really set a lot of things across the entire world. It kind of thinned out the herd in terms of written sites like ours. And so there are gaps. There's gaps to be filled, and there's ways to, you know, be unique in the space. That's where we can kind of extend and mod, and hopefully in the future, maybe we can do some future collaborations.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be awesome. That would be great. And I would love to be able to do that.
Cool. All right, Dwayne, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today and having this little casual conversation. If anyone wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
They can come over and check out the website, which is modders-inc.com, or you can do it without the dash. Either way, it goes right to there. And on social media, we're all over the place. We are everywhere as Modders Inc. And I hope you enjoy the content that we put out.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2026. Thanks for listening.